Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have a fabulous actor whose film, The Audition, is an hour and 10 minutes, and he does it all. So we're going to get into it today. So, hey, welcome to the show. Saul Roth is here.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I love talking about film, especially if it's my film. Life is good.
So let's start at the beginning. Where did this idea come from? Was this like a COVID idea because you had nothing else to do? You couldn't get out?
Actually, it's kind of a long story. I'm going to go all the way back for you on this one. A year before my, it starts out sad, but it has a happy ending. It's okay. My mom was actually dying of cancer, and she was on hospice. I was spending some time with her and stuff, which was great. I'm glad I got to do that. I took some time off work. We were talking about different things. I was pretty depressed at the time. Obviously, my mom's dying. And she was talking to me about my career and my passions. And I originally came to LA. I put everything in the trunk of my car and was all excited and was all crazy and thought I was going to become famous. It's a stupid thing, but it does happen. I originally made a film. I stuck it on YouTube and it went viral. So I had these like ambitious, overblown plans and goals, which is crazy. They almost worked. I almost freaking sold a sci-fi epic adventure script to a Hollywood studio. Didn't happen. I blogged about it on YouTube. You can check that out sometime. Okay, long story short, I was like, okay, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to just make minimalist films. I'm going to do it. I promised my mom because she wanted me to do that. She bought me a camera and said, shoot something with this. Actually, I already had cameras, but she wanted to give me that before she passed. And I was like, okay, what the heck am I going to shoot with this? So I started writing a bunch of scripts. Eventually, COVID happened, and I'm like, fuck, I can't go out and do it. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, screw this. What could I do with these limitations? I'm going to accomplish my goal. So I started originally with all these crazy ideas. I'm like, I'm going to do some science fiction. I'll do clones. I'll do all this fun stuff. And I'm like, no. Let's not be overly ambitious this time. Although this is overly ambitious. This is a hard project. Let's strip it down to like a pure performance. So what does that look like, right? What does a pure acting performance look like? The base level, if you strip everything off, you strip all the CGI, you strip all the crazy ideas, what's a pure performance talking directly to an audience? To me, that's is a monologue. All your attention, no fancy camera movements, conveying emotion, conveying a character, direct one-on-one. So then I started writing a bunch of monologues down, set it up in my garage studio since I had a lot of time being on lockdown. And I decided to take it kind of seriously and film it almost like it was a real audition. Each one of those pieces of that movie was done in one take. A couple of them I did two takes, to be honest. But very, very few takes. I wanted it as raw and as stripped down as I could possibly make it.
So let's go back there. So you did this for your mom? Is that what it was saying? Or this was just something your mom wanted you to do?
Just something my mom wanted me to do. I did it for me, obviously. I did it. I'm always writing and acting and I'm very creative, as you can probably tell by the way I talk. Mine's all over the place. I'm like, I'm excited about this. Let's do this. But that was one of the inspirations I had. And then with COVID and everything added up together, I just went for it.
So I want to start this off. I mean, you spend an hour and 10 minutes talking to me.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, because when you're watching your film, you're doing it for the person watching it.
Yep.
Now, did you throw this up on YouTube?
No. Man, I was so nervous the first time I released this. So here's the story. It's actually cool. I didn't let anyone see it initially. Edited it all myself. I did the sound, everything. And then I was like, okay, did I accomplish my goal? Don't know. I'm proud of it, but I'm not the audience. And so I was like, oh, what should I do? I actually submitted it to a distributor without anyone had ever watched it before, which is like, I'm like, but I'm like, it's pretty intense when you make something like this, because regular movie, you have acting and CGI and all the stuff to fall back on. But this is like me performing for you. You probably noticed, but I break the fourth wall. I actually talk directly to the audience in between some of the monologues.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah. So distributor/aggregator. I uploaded all my stuff. It went through QA. No one had ever seen it. I mean, it was being distributed. So I was like, oh, okay. They stuck it. So Amazon Prime Video kind of screws creators, but they are cool because they still have an audience base. I knew it would get on that USA base because that's not very selective. But it was crazy because right after I uploaded it, like within a month, it had distribution in different places. And it was selected by Tubi TV. Tubi TV is huge. That's not like, and very curated. I was like amazed. I was like, holy crap. So somebody must like it, right? I mean, I don't think they took it without watching it. In fact, they rewrote my marketing copy and I loved what they said. I wrote this whole thing. I'm like, man, I'm ticking clocks. Saw Ross put to the ultimate acting audition, you know, which is what it is. They rewrote it and called it an ode to the actor's monologue. I was like, that's kind of cool. That's like, if you put it down to like one sentence, I'm like, I like that.
So I do have some questions.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead. Finish off. Sorry, I'll get to my question. I thought you were done.
Oh, pretty much done. Anyways, they accepted it. Finally went online. Then I finally asked people to watch it and review it. And some of the feedback was fucking incredible. I'm like, oh my God. I was like moved. I was like just inspired. It was just crazy. Even if I made the movie for that person, I'd be happy.
I think you make this movie for every casting director you've ever met that didn't cast you.
Yes. Oh.
Like, I was thinking, do you ever need to go to another casting audition again? You're like, nope, here it is. What do you need? I got it all. It's right here.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was kind of funny with the title, like, Saw Ross Audition. I'm going to use, like, yes, I sent him that. I remember one of the projects I'm working on, they had a Facebook group and stuff, and they wanted someone who had, like, physical skills, and that, but can you really act? And I'm like, watch this. I'm like, this whole thing. I'm like, my dramatic range is huge. You're going to see everything in this. Watch this. They watched it and said, yeah, we should work together. Boom. So, yes, I didn't even have to audition for that part.
See, I told you. Okay. So I'm going to break this down a bit more. I made some questions for you that you didn't answer for me during the monologue, if that's okay. Right. What types of characters do you like to do?
I like to do characters that have an inner struggle. So obviously character arcs are very interesting, but one of the most challenging things to portray correctly is, so you can't see an inner struggle, is to bring that inner struggle out in the subtle and nuanced ways. You see, maybe their voice is cracking. Maybe they're trying to focus on something and they're saying this, but the character really means something else. So characters with a strong inner struggle, like they're struggling with something internally, and to bring that externally within the performance, I think is a lot of fun.
Is Saul Roth your real name?
Kind of. My real name is Solomon Rothman, but that's too long. So, like, people spell Solomon wrong, and then it has all those other extra connotations. So I used to make films under Solomon Rothman, and people would like mess up my name. I'm like, you know what? Let's make that more hardcore. Saul Roth.
How is the auditioning process for yourself when you have to do it?
You mean like real auditions? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a real audition, but yeah. So I will take a look at the script or whatever they give me. Sometimes it's a cold audition. I immediately will memorize it, but I will start breaking down what's happening and then determine what I think the character should be. Like, I start writing a backstory. So the scene will be something like a coffee shop or like a fight or whatever it is. And I'll read the script and I'm like, okay, what does the character want? Who is this character and what they're doing? But one of the interesting parts I'll do is I'll imagine what happened before and before it all happened. Even if that's not in the script, even if it's not what the director wanted, at least I have a base to be like, all right, maybe this guy had a really bad day. He just had a fight with his girlfriend. That's why he's kind of antagonistic. He might not, right? But that gives me like a place to go. Maybe he's actually upset about something else in his life. So he's going to have like a very little limited trigger. I see him kind of like agitated. So then I can start portraying that. And then I would do like a couple records, trying to get it from memory. And then I leave it like that. I actually don't over practice because in many ways that raw performance sometimes can be better than something that's like overly rehearsed. You've seen, you review movies, so you've seen a shit ton of movies, but where it's too smooth, it's over rehearsed, and so it loses some of that edge. Because when real life conversations. You don't know exactly what the other person's going to say. And all the other things. So with an audition, I want to give like a raw performance, but I still want to have that whole character remade in my head. I want to have the backstory created. And then I just try to kill it with that.
Okay. Now, during the course of your film, you're the same body type. You're pretty much standing in the camera the same way.
Yep.
How come you never changed your shirt?
So I thought a lot about that, actually. I thought about doing different costumes. It would be kind of interesting to change it. But again, it might not go together as well as far as like consistency and stuff. So I was like, maybe I'll just do one solid performance with the same look.
How did you decide on your lighting?
So that was a lot of trial and error, actually. I was like, I want enough dramatic lighting on my face that it gives a nice like 3D look and looks like it's going to be a dramatic performance, but I don't want it overdone to where it's like cartoonish. So I was like, okay, I have overhead LED lights in my studio. By the way, I'm holding a light. Check it out. But that looks better, right? I should probably mount this, but I had to change my Zoom setup at the last minute. So I was like, screw it. That's okay. I'll just stick it on the table here. So I got it on the table here. So yes, I have the overhead LED lights. And I was like, okay, now I got to light the face. Then I got my various, actually more LED lights. Everyone uses LED lights because they're freaking awesome. I set the temperature, set all the stuff. I originally wasn't 100% sold on black and white, so I had to make sure that the color popped enough. But then as soon as I thought about it more, and as soon as I saw what it looked like in black and white, I was like, done. This has to be black and white.
So how did you decide? I mean, you probably know the number 15 different monologues, maybe more. I think at least 15. How did you decide what to say in each one? So you said you're going to do this in this one. I'm going to be this in this one. I mean, that's a lot of work for you. So, I mean, how much writing time did that take? How many times did you change it before you performed it? Or did you already know what you were going to do ahead of time?
So this will be interesting. I actually had a process with this. I thought, and I was like, okay, what type of characters can I portray? And so I made like a list of characters. And I wanted, I had like a list of things I wanted. I wanted to show that I could portray different emotions. All the way extreme to like rage, to like sob, like crying, like serious sadness. So I had a list of like emotions and then a list of genres. And then I was like, okay, why don't I just come up with like a setting, like a survivor in a zombie movie. That was my first, like a post-apocalyptic survivor type story is my very first one. So like, I'm start with that. I'm like, okay, so from there, what is this character saying? And then I just kind of like free form brainstorm, you know, some stuff. And then originally the monologue's too rambly because that's what happens when you do that. And then I just edited it down until I got it what I wanted. And then I would record my voice speaking it, video too, so I could see what it looked like and make sure it wasn't too like long. One thing I was afraid of was I would speak too much and that people get lost in watching it. And I think I was able to keep it tight enough that there's enough to tell. I was really able to give like reveals or give like an arc to what I was doing without them zoning out. So the writing process took a lot, actually. I wrote that. As far as hours and days, I'm not sure. I'd write like a lot at one time, but that would be like a lot of spelling mistakes, a lot of stuff I just wanted to like imagine and just go. And then sometimes when I was doing the recorded performance out for the first time, I would start improvising some. Cause I'm like, okay, why don't I? Because I would just get, it would just feel like naturally, and then I would revise the script with the improv stuff.
Hold on. You're revising, you're saying you're doing improv. So if you're doing improv,
no, not in the actual movie. When I was practicing the script. So I'd write the script, I'd have a script idea, I'd practice that. Then when I recorded myself reading that script, while I was doing that performance, I would improv with it to improve what I had there to make it sound more natural. Then I would rewrite it with the improv.
I got it now. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, no. that wouldn't have been that good if I improvised all that. That would have been very, that would have been, it wouldn't have been that performance.
I don't know. Although I can ask. Okay. Now, I want to discuss, because you do spend a lot of time discussing method, and you do bring it up, and you do spend some time. I think this is when your brain was working a lot more than the other one. So I don't think, after watching this, you like going method. Or am I wrong and you've tricked me?
So I actually don't usually use method acting and don't particularly like it over the other styles. I do think it's a tool, and I think it's useful. I call it like a lazy man's way of processing emotion. Like, if you don't have any time to get there, you can just go method. Okay, I need to play a sad character. I'll just remember being really sad. But that emotion is fake. I mean, all acting is fake, but that emotion will be too tainted with your own personal experience to reflect the character as well. What I like to do is not method. It's more of like a character. I'm going to call it character vessel. That's not the name of it. That's just the easy way to say it. Where I really attempt to get lost in that character and think the character's thoughts and try to visualize stuff to give me the emotion that is supposed to be happening.
Okay. I do also want to spend on your crying sequence, because you do comment on at the end of the film. So people know, after you've done the film, stay. And you will have a commentary. You'll break that wall just for the little end.
Yep.
So you do discuss crying and say how hard it is to cry.
At that level, it really is. I mean, like, imagine if I asked you to sob on camera like that.
I'm not an actor, though.
I know. I'm just kidding. But it's
that. I probably could cry in a couple seconds, but why would I want to?
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I understand. So, yeah, I discussed the difficulty of that. It is difficult because you've got your script, you've got your character, you're trying to remember all the backstory and stuff. And then you're trying to get dark enough and deep enough to actually be sad. So there's people that can fake cry. It's not as good. When I was able to get that scene, those are real tears. I made myself sad deep inside that character. So I'd imagine loss. I'd imagine this stuff this person's going through strong enough that I could channel the tears. By the way, that is emotionally exhausting. When you really do
it's sure it is.
Rough. I'm like the parts of that where I'm like, oh man, that isn't an active response. That's me like, whew, you know.
So as an actor, is that the hardest thing you gotta do? I mean, is it harder than running a block and being chased by a guy with a gun and shooting at you? Obviously, it's not real, but you got to get in that motion while you're running. The guy's pulling bullets at you. Or there's a car coming to stop you, and you got to flip over the car because you're on a low-budget film and you don't have a stunt director. So which one is harder to do?
So for me, although I didn't show this in the audition, physicality is, like, not a problem. I'm super into fitness. Okay. I did martial arts. I was in the military. I was in the Army before. So for me, physicality comes really naturally. I have like a shit ton of energy. So if it's like hit a guy and duck, you know, I can do the choreography. I can do all the stuff. So that isn't hard. Crying or coming up with like really deep, dark emotions is a lot more difficult. I actually think that's probably more difficult for most people. Like it's pretty intense. Unless you were just a very emotional, I'm not sure. But for me, definitely crying is really hard.
So being an actor, and you're going to have to be in every genre on the planet.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite genre to work in?
My favorite genre to work in would be something like thriller. So there's enough of a plot arc, kind of exciting, but enough of a story going on that I have a lot to work with as an actor, as far as like character arcs and displaying emotion and stuff. A pure action movie. It's fun. It's freaking awesome. But there's less source material to that really challenges you to create this amazing character. I mean, there are amazing characters in action movies. In fact, in my opinion, there's amazing characters even in comic book movies. There's some like depth there. But it's not the same as a dramatic movie. And the reason why I mentioned thrillers is because then you still get some of the excitement with the dramatic presentation of it.
Now, do you feel after doing the audition that casting directors should be more drawn to you? after they see this and look you up, or has it happened already?
The audition's very new, newly released, so I'm still experiencing the outcome of that. So far, my connections on social media, my Facebook groups and stuff, including some from like talent managers and stuff, have been through the roof. It's been crazy. But nothing directly has come from it yet. But I imagine if this becomes more and more popular, which it has been, like I said, the response has been amazing for me. So I imagine it will lead to some more opportunities. It's actually even inspired people internationally. It's been really nuts. Like I said, it's barely been released, and I've had like all these people want to talk to me and stuff. And I've done some video chats with people overseas that want to work with me in their films and want me to act in their films and all this stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, this is pretty cool.
So
I just make it to the next step.
In the audition too, because you know it's going to happen. Let's be honest. I already know you're processing it. Are we going to see a lyrical piece from you? Or are we going to see maybe some plays? Are we going to see a musical? Because you didn't really touch on any of that kind of stuff in more genre stuff. Will that be in part two?
What I was thinking for part two, by the way, I do have some ideas, but I'm waiting to write it for that. I'm waiting until I'm ready for that. But I wanted to express more physical acting in part two. I want to move more. I want to do more expressive stuff with the body, which is like super amazing part of acting that I didn't get to do because that needed to be that way, you know? I am actually musical. I didn't actually think about putting the musical side of things. I do actually sing. I have a song on Spotify and stuff. So like I do actually have musical abilities that go with my theatrical performances as well. Now that you mention that, I'm going to have to think about that.
Now,
I probably should have. That's you just inspired me, man.
Well, that's good to hear. I have another question. When you're watching this, don't take this as a negative, but it will come off negative. Did you feel when people are watching it, they wanted you to move more and they would comment, it's a little stiff? Because they've seen the same thing over and over and over and over again for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yes. So that's why I want to show more physical acting in the second one. I could have been more physical in the first one, but I'm not sure I would have been able to make a better overall performance or movie. And the reason why is with that medium and close-up fixed shot, it's going to be hard to correctly present the physicality of the acting as well. I to be honest with you, with that critique, I should have pushed it a little more. But there's so many things when you're making something like that. But yes, you're right. And I have heard that before.
Okay, well, these are questions that come to me, right? I've watched you do this for an hour and 10 minutes. I'm kind of like, well, I got to ask. I think. So,
thank you for watching and hearing this, though. I really, really appreciate it. It's difficult, especially in the beginning, to get reviews of like truly independent work. And this is like as independent as you can get. I mean, this is a $0 shot in your home studio, one-man performance.
We're not done yet. Let's finish.
All right.
So after doing this, people have seen it. We know who you are. Maybe you should have put your song from Spotify in it and just, you know, hey, on the bottom or something. I mean, if you're telling me you could do a musical performance, I think it would have been awesome at the end of it. You know, when you're talking to the camera, doing your little background spiel, that would be the perfect time to break out something there. Maybe just for something different, have a random friend show up and get into a sword fight at the end.
Those are good ideas, man. The reason why I didn't do the singing is the thing on Spotify is actually a cover.
Oh,
I did
okay.
Actually music, kind of. So I took the started with a MIDI track and stuck it in like GarageBand and changed the instruments and the way it sounds, and then sang on top of that and did actually the whole thing. It's a one man production as well, but I don't have licensing to use it. But I could have mentioned it; that would have been interesting. As far as some randomness, yeah, I got to throw in some more stuff. It's always time to level up.
So after somebody sat down for an hour and 10 minutes and watched this, who is this for in the end? I mean, is it for the viewer? Is it for you to get your name out there? What is it ideally boil down to?
It boils down to the rawest performance with the least amount of creative limitations that I could produce. And actually, it's not only for the audience, but it's also for me, but it's for the artwork itself to stand alone as that. I have never seen anyone else do this. They may have, but I know a lot about movies and film and acting and YouTube, but I've never seen this ever done before. So I wanted to do that and put that out to the world. I was talking, it was one of the connections from this. I was talking to director, producer, I'm not going to name drop him because I didn't get permission to do his quote. But he's in the Netherlands. He's done some pretty cool stuff. He originally went to film school and like studied in LA. He's like, I've never seen anyone do that. I've heard actors talk about solo projects and things, but he's like, that is so bold. He's like, that is so bold. I've never seen anyone actually do it. So I did it to do that, to have that piece of work out there and be like, hey, you want to see a one-person movie of nothing but monologues, pure acting? I produced that, and you can see it, and it lives forever, and it's out there in the world, and it exists. So, of course, for me personally, it's really good for me, freaking awesome for me. It's going to open up all these opportunities. But it's even deeper than that. I didn't know it was going to open up all these opportunities. When I told you I submitted it for aggregation distribution, and no one had even seen it. Now, I have some self-awareness. I knew I did a good job. I'm like, because I have confidence in my range, of course. You imagine if you sucked at acting and made that? Oh, my God. It probably would be popular because camp, you know, just campy things. It would be like laughing at you. But I was confident in my abilities, but I didn't know how it would be received. But I was excited that I was able to do it and put that out there.
Okay, we're going to move on.
It's really intense. That was a very intense
movie. Oh, absolutely it is. We're going to move on to fun questions now.
Yes.
Just so you know. Your favorite film?
So I don't like to give favorites because for me, when it spoke to me, when it was like intense for me, has a lot to do with context. So the film that's like films that inspire me, if I rewatch them 10 or 20 years later, might not even be that amazing. But at the time I saw them, they like opened up my world, blew my mind out. If you want to talk about like mainstream movies, just for the heck of it, like obviously things like The Matrix and stuff, because I'm into science fiction, like blew my mind. But that's like a common, that's not a fancy answer. From independent perspective, I'm going to give some crazy ones now. There are like very minimalist movies like Death and the Maiden. It's like from the 70s. But when I watched that, I was like, whoa, it's from stage play. I even read the stage play.
I know what it is.
And I was like, that is amazing. That's a three-person freaking movie, one location. Yep. And I'm like, it held my attention. It got the acting's incredible. It held all the way through. And I was super excited through it. And that was like very inspiring. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a movie like that sometime. I have to.
That's awesome. Never heard Death in the Maiden. There's a poll right there. I'm pretty impressed. Your favorite monologue from a film?
Oh, my God. You think I'd have an awesome answer for this prepared?
I totally would expect you to. You just gave me an hour and 10, a bunch of monologues.
There's so many. There's monologues from The Godfather I love. There's monologues from... even like going back to like the black and white era of films. So like The Bicycle Thief, there's a
piece. Oh, wow. Look at you. 1940s.
There's a lot in there. There's so many, even like some of the monologues and even some of the like Avengers comic book movies are like good. I'm like, that's a powerful monologue. I love that. Maybe one of my favorite monologues of all time would be Edward Norton. Is it Primal Fear? What the heck is that?
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay, Edward Norton in Primal Fear has probably the best monologue of all time for me.
Where he's in prison.
Yes, and he does the switch.
Yes.
Oh my God, and that's the reveal. That piece of acting and that monologue reveal just blew my mind when I watched it. So that's my actual answer. That one is what I picked. But there's so many I love. That was. Now I'm thinking about that. I gotta go rewatch that. I love that monologue. Actually, I like Edward Norton too. I like some of the stuff he did in like American History X. His early stuff was my favorite. But yeah, that movie. Whew, man, that was an intense.
You may have given away your last answer to this question already. One film that people should see but it never have.
Oh, definitely Made, man. That's a good film.
I know. That's what I figured it was going to be. Everybody check out his thing on Tubi.
It's on Tubi TV. It's on Amazon Prime USA and Amazon Prime UK. So you can also watch it if you're in Europe, if you have, yeah.
Don't forget your website.
What?
Your website.
Oh, sure. SaulRoth.com. Very simple. SaulRoth.com. And I've linked to all my social media. I actually vlog. This is a good one. I vlog my filmmaking adventures every single week. I talk about auditions. I talk about movies. I talk about talking to the filmmakers. I vlog all of the time now. And it's been fucking amazing. And I'm going to vlog this. I'm going to talk about this experience, having this interview, and like what I'm doing with this project. Thank you again. Super, super pumped, man. Pumped to be here.
So thank you for your time and have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you.